The Bureau of Land Management wants to halt the practice of swinging from ropes at two popular Utah landmarks. Officials propose a two-year restriction on rope swinging from the Corona Arch and Gemini Bridges near Moab. They've received complaints that the screaming swingers disturb other tourists. For details, we turn to Megan Crandall, a spokesperson for BLM in Utah. Megan, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Good morning to you, too.
So give me the bigger story here. These are public lands managed by BLM. To what extent is the agency able to regulate behavior of people on these areas?
Well, you know, right now what we're looking at is that Corona Arch, for example, just came under BLM management only this past May. And as I'm sure you're aware, rope swinging, things like slacklining, they're relatively new. And they're really, we've seen a huge surge in that activity. So we have a responsibility to really look at things like Corona Arch and Gemini Bridges to make sure that roped activities, slacklining, highlining, swinging, is the best use of that particular area. I should say, too, that rope swinging especially is still available in other parts of the Moab field office. We just really need to slow down, take a step back, and make sure that Corona Arch is really the best place for roped activities like that.
All right, as someone who gets dizzy if I'm cleaning the gutters on the first floor, what is slacklining?
I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. You know, slacklining is where sometimes you'll see people at a park doing it, where they have a rope kind of swung between two stanchions. It might not even be that far off the ground. It could be, you know, say a couple feet off the ground. And they'll kind of walk that rope, sort of like a tight rope, only it's not tight, it's slack. And with places like Corona, Gemini Bridges, we have some really intrepid souls in the Moab area who do that at hundreds of feet in the air.
Well, I hope they have fun. Do you think, just as an aside, the existence of these little cameras that allow people to film themselves doing all this kind of thing has led to more and more of this type of activity? Because you can post it on YouTube?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really possible. But, you know, as soon as you think that you've seen every adrenaline-fueled activity you can think of, someone will come up with another one. And one of the things that makes BLM-managed lands in Moab so incredibly unique is that we do offer places where people can go base jumping if that's for them. They can engage in rope swinging, slacklining, rappelling, climbing. But then they can also take a backcountry hike and sort of get away from it all and experience the solitude. So it's a little bit of everything, and in no way is the BLM trying to say that in those areas around Moab that adrenaline is not a good thing to seek, because for some people that's exactly what they want.
So what is the issue with these particular locations then? A couple of people have been killed for one thing, correct?
Yes, they have, although that was not when those lands were under BLM management. Fortunately, since May, we haven't had that happen. I'm certainly hopeful that it will continue with this record of safety that we've had thus far. But that particular area, Corona, for example, is a hiking focus area. It gets 40,000 visitors a year. It's the type of hike where you can go with your kids. And so, you know, one of the things we have to look at is, is something like rope swinging appropriate when you have 40,000 people a year visiting? And B, are we in a situation where that could potentially damage the arch itself? I mean, sandstone is not the hardest stone out there. And so we do have to look at that as well and just make sure that if we continue to allow it, that it's not going to either compete with other uses or damage the resource itself.
Has there been evidence of damage from the rope swing? I guess, how do you do that? You have to put a piece of metal hammer it into the rock and attach the rope to that. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you do have to put anchors in the rock. And, you know, I mean, climbers will tell you that, you know, responsibly placed anchors will not destroy rocks. So, you know, it's important to understand that. We recognize that. But we are beginning to see what we think are impacts from roped activities on Corona specifically. I was up there not too long ago, less than 3-4 weeks ago, actually, and we're starting to see what looks like potentially abrasion marks and that sort of thing. So this proposed restriction is going to give us the time and space we need to really sort of comprehensively evaluate the situation and make sure that if we continue to allow it, that it's not going to negatively impact that.
There's no danger that somebody, say, too heavy swinging there could make the arch come down or anything.
You know, I have no idea. I'm not a geologist, so I certainly couldn't tell you. But as you may recall, a few years ago, not on BLM land, but an arch did come down. It's natural. They're created by wind and water over millions of years, and eventually all of these arches will fall. And so it's always a possibility. But as far as whether that could be human caused, you know, I just don't know. But it's certainly something that we need to explore.
I guess the arches have a mind of their own. We're speaking with Megan Crandall. She's a spokesperson for the Bureau of Land Management in Utah. So what's involved in creating a ban? Or do you have to go through a comment period, a rulemaking proposal? How does it work for the agency to be able to do this?
Well, and that's exactly where we are right now, is that we have an open public comment period, and what we're looking at is really just a temporary restriction. It's not a permanent ban. It's nothing like that. Right now, all it is just that temporary two-year, we're not going to allow roped activities in those two areas to give us the time to really sort of take a step back and study what those uses mean to other people who use the area as well as to the resource itself. So until September 25th of this year, the public is encouraged to go to www.blm.gov/Utah, and you can find links to the document itself that recommends this restriction, and you're more than welcome to comment. We encourage people to comment. There's people all over the country. It's not just for people in Utah. Folks from all over the world, actually, travel to the Moab area. So if you're interested in this, I definitely encourage you to go and submit your comments.
And what have the climbers and the piton inserters and the rope swingers had to say so far, if anything?
You know, I personally have not had a chance to look at the comments, so I don't know how many we've gotten, but I can tell you that the visitor logs that we have for that area, we have comments both for and against. So as you can imagine, folks who like to go to the area because it's quiet and it's kind of away from the hustle, they prefer that. And then for the people who are the avid climbers, they prefer to use the area for things like rappelling, rope swinging, you know, that sort of thing. So
imagine
we really
if you
have both.
I suppose if you're walking under the arch and someone decides to do their swing through it at that moment, you could really have a problem. So could one possible solution be you can rope swing from, you know, 8 in the morning till 12 noon, and then everyone else can walk through the rest of the day, that type of kind of accommodating both sides?
You know, I think that we are starting to see a use of more creative solutions like that kind of across the board, and it's something that we take seriously. We like the idea of creative solutions. You know, perhaps it's odd and even days or something like that, if that's the case. We just don't know what that would look like. You know, at this point, what we're trying to get to is, okay, now we're ready to really sort of dig into the situation and explore what those impacts are and if we can make this work and if this area is appropriate for it.
And so there's a temporary ban in place now. Is that correct?
No. No, there's not. What we're doing is trying to gather public comment on that temporary ban. I don't even like to call it a ban because a ban sounds so permanent. Right now, it's just a restriction. But that would not go into effect until we get all of our public comments and assess those public comments and decide how we want to move forward. So actually, as of right now, roped activities are still permitted.
And should there be a temporary cessation of it, or whatever word you want to use, what kind of enforcement powers does BLM have if they catch someone doing it anyway?
Well, and that's something that we'll have to explore when we get to the point of deciding whether we want to put it into place or not. I will say that by and large, especially on BLM managed lands in that area, the folks that use them are incredibly respectful of the fact that we have some areas, for example, that are focused on mountain bikers, and we encourage hikers to stay off those trails out of respect for the fact that bikers come through kind of quickly. That particular trail that leads to Corona Arch is close to mountain bikers. So, you know, regardless of what activities we have in which areas, I think for the most part, the folks that use those, the recreationists, are really respectful of each other.